Thank you, girls, for that special. I know that our brother Gordon has prepared a message for us this night. I would ask that each one of us would carefully listen to the words he has for us and how they apply to our lives. And ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother and pastor, Gordon McCann.
Good evening. Sorry I wasn't with you this morning. My daughter is doing okay. Nothing was broken. And I thank you for the prayers in her behalf. What inspired my thoughts for tonight was some of the readings that I do in the morning before I go to work. I came across a scripture verse that got me thinking about the topic that I have tonight. You can find that in the book of Ether in the first chapter. And it's actually the 77th verse, which is on page 721. Here we find that it's the story of the brother of Jared when he was following the commandments of the Lord in building a ship, vessels, and they were going to be, he was told that they were going to be traveling and they were going to be sealed up and they needed light. And so he had molded some stones that the Lord might touch them and make light, that they would have light on their journey. And when the Lord brought his finger to touch those stones, the brother Jared saw the finger of Christ. And he was afraid. And he was afraid because he didn't understand that Christ would come in the flesh, or God would come in the flesh. And verse 77 is the response that Christ was making to him after the Lord could not withhold himself and revealed himself to the brother of Jared. And the words that were spoken there, it says, "Behold, I am he." And I want you to kind of underline that because we're going to talk about that. "Who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son." Kind of stuck out was when the Lord was very emphatic and he said, "I am, I am, I am." He said it three times. And it brought me back to thoughts of another time when those words were mentioned. And that brings you back to the book of Moses, or in the days of Moses, in the book of Exodus. In the day that we live, we have a lot of technology in recording and offering, or the ability that we can go and we can read, and we can we have everything at our fingertips concerning knowledge. And yet, it seems the more that we have the available to get to this knowledge, to read and to look and understand and see the different languages and stuff, it seems the further that we get away from the impact or the magnitude of the words themselves. And I want you to follow me with this. I mean, we, in our handhelds, we cut all our words in syllables, you know, that you could just look at and translate, or, you know, send that off in our handhelds and we can communicate that way. But in the days that I'm talking about, that these were written, "I am he" had a very strong impact upon those that heard those words. It meant something. It provided a picture that is different than what our language, when we read it, "I am he," it doesn't stand out as it did to them who read that long ago. Let's go to Exodus in the third chapter. Here we find Moses is at the burning bush, and God has given Moses a commission. And let's see here. Start with verse 12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Now, in those days, when they heard I am, or these words, this phrase that was there, this was the creator. There was no one else that would be able to fit that description. And when I think about it, when I see I am that I am, in the English language, it loses its impact unless you have an opportunity to actually research and look at those words and see what it was actually saying in the old phrase, what it really meant. Adam Clark, when he was, he wrote a commentary concerning this. He says, "These words have been variously understood, and the Vulgate translates, I am who am, the Septuagint, I am he who exists. The Syriac, the Persic, and the Chaldee preserve the original words without any gloss. The Arabic paraphrases them, the eternal, who passes not away," which is the same interpretation given by Abdul Farajiz, who also preserves the original words and gives the above as an interpretation. The Targum of Jonathan and Jerusalem Targum paraphrases the words thus, "He who spake and the world was, who spake and all things existed." So when Moses received that from God, he got a clear picture because of the words that were given him, that he knew that he would have that confidence when he went to them and made that statement, "The I am sent me." It would be what authority that he came with. It was that authority of the one who created all things, who was a being, who was from the beginning with no end. That's what it meant. He who is and who will be and what is. That was who was going to be, that Moses was going to represent. Let's go to the book of Revelation, because really we can find the definition there, which the prophet, the disciple John had recorded in the revelation that was given him. We can go to the first chapter of Revelation, and let's go to the 8th verse. So if you take this word, I am, it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Now, I want to talk about a little bit about the Almighty, and I'll be able to give you an example of what that meant, and in the eyes of Moses. But that's a good definition of when the Lord had told him, said, "Tell him that I am has sent you." That's what it meant. Which is, which was, and which is to come. Excuse me. In Exodus, in the third chapter, in verses 19 through 20, we'll continue this story here. It says, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Now here, the words mighty hand, when you look at the original text, it's talking about an army or the strength of a man going to Pharaoh and to be able to extract the children of Israel from them. And so that's why the Lord says, will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. All right? And you got to remember that, because later on you'll read, and we're going to read something that seems like it contradicts what this says. But that's what I was talking about from the very beginning. If we don't look at the words and go back to the original text, it would be kind of confusing. Actually, the word that was used here for mighty is there's two words one word with two different meanings. And the one word here is the kazak, which is that meaning of the strength of the strong or a conqueror, someone, a ruler, someone with the strength to go in and make changes through the strength of a man. Now let's go over to Exodus 6, and we'll read the counterpart to this in verses 1 through 8. Here we find that Moses had done what the Lord had asked him to do. He went to the children of Israel, and then he went to Pharaoh and asked him to let his people go. And what, if you remember, Pharaoh said, well, you know, I'm not going to, and I'm going to make it even worse on Israel, so I'm going to prove my point. And so now we find in the last part of the fifth chapter that, you know, the Israelites weren't very happy with Moses and what he was doing and kind of lost their faith in that message that he said, I am, was coming to take you from Pharaoh and relieve you from that burden and take you away from this place. And so you find it says in 22 and 23 at the end of the fifth chapter, it says, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hath thou delivered thy people at all. And so the Lord answers him in the sixth chapter. And he says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for which a strong hand shall let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Now that strong hand is that same strong, is that same word with a slight variation of mighty, okay? And that word was, it's spelled the same except for the last two letters. The last three letters of the word was Z-A-K, and this one is Z-A-W-K, which means that it is coming from a power greater than man. So when you read this, if you were just reading and you didn't understand the differences behind it, you would go, well, he seems like he's contradicting himself. But in the English language, the way it's interpreted and the way it's written, it would give you that impression. But really, when you look at the original text, it's identified that truly that there would be a strong hand that would be that would not be a hand of a man. It would be a hand of God, and it'd be very obvious. And it's really important to see what I'm talking about here in that sense. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob, and by the name of God Almighty, that same word again, as strong that you read in the first verse, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And you got to remember, Jehovah was the word that was really an unspeakable word. God, there was no description for God. And so the Hebrew, they used the word Jehovah as identifying God. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am, there you go again, the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning that the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Forgive me, I'm having some sinus issues tonight. Anyhow, that would be the example of what the Lord was told Israel, that promise. We believe that that promise stretches out throughout time. That's why we believe that Israel will be returning. Well, they are, but that's part of our work in these last days of bringing this message to the house of Israel. What I found in the scriptures, there was there's about three strong testimonies between the Book of Mormon and the Bible concerning the use of I am He. Okay? Now, I'm going to bring the different ones to you so that you could maybe cross-reference it or whatever. It'll be more like a Sunday school than maybe a sermon. But I want you to understand the impact of the Word and how it is really should come together for you in the last days as we are able to bring to the world who I am He is. Let's go to Deuteronomy in the 32nd chapter. And this is the verse 39. This is the culmination of the work that Moses had fulfilled as God has commanded. See now that I, even I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. That was a very plain and direct statement to Israel as a testimony, of reminding them of what He said He was going to do, what I read in the 6th chapter in Exodus. Reiterating that this is part of the songs of Moses. And one of the things that we are told in the Book of Mormon is we're to study the prophecies of Isaiah. And in there's some some good scriptures that identify who sent Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah in the 43rd chapter. There in the 43rd chapter, there's a couple of good scripture verses that I would like to use that has to do with I am He. It's 10 through 13 in the 43rd chapter. (Clears throat) in the ninth verse, it says, let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who am among them, can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, who shall let it? I really like these verses of scripture in the book of Isaiah. It's very plain. It puts the emphasis on I am he, and what that means and what it should mean to you and I. There's another one in the 48th chapter of Isaiah, in the 12th verse. In this one I've used, or the ninth verse I've used quite often, as it relates to Israel and the work that the Lord was going to do with Israel in the last days. The verse I want to read is 12, but I'm going to start on verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that it cut thee not off. And the reason why he was saying that is he had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It passed down to Moses, and, excuse me, and then on to the children of Israel, the seed of Joseph. And he says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. And you find this theme throughout Isaiah, where God is calling out to Israel and asking them and pleading with them and help them to understand who it was that was talking and the promises that was held out to them if they would only serve him. In the 51st chapter, in the 12th verse, is another reference. And again, the ninth verse, it's the Lord calling out to Israel. In the ninth verse, it says, awake and awake, put on your strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? I must have wounded somebody out there, I tell you. I know it's bad. I'm sorry. That is a reference to when the Lord, with a mighty and strong arm, extracted Israel from Egypt. And so he is calling them again. This has to do with our day. This is in the last days where he's saying, awake, awake, put on the strength, O arm of the Lord. And as it says, as in the ancient days. And that was with power and authority. No one could doubt it. If you were there and you experienced it, you would know who it was. It would be the I am that did it. Now, let's go to verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Being very specific as to who would be doing it. One more scripture verse in the book of Isaiah is just the next chapter, chapter 52. The title on this is, for in my Bible, it says, the Lord will deliver Zion from captivity. And again, the prophet Isaiah, using the words given him, is identifying who is, by what authority this is going to occur. Here in the sixth verse, actually, in the first verse, again, it uses that word, those words, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. So it's a call. Put on thy beautiful garments, which is righteousness, O Jerusalem, the holy city. because then it goes, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Then in the sixth verse, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak, behold, it is I. I really like the way the Lord, when I looked into this, how he took, you could see a plan there. You saw from what we have in the stick of Judah, where the I am is identified and worked with the children of Israel. Then you find throughout the Old Testament, the Lord beseeching them. And then in Isaiah, where he used him as a major prophet to testify of the I am, how he was going to work with Israel, and in what time, throughout the time, even in the end of time, which would explain why the Lord said that we should study the words of Isaiah, that we might be familiar with it in the day that we live. There was another person that the Lord, it's said in the New Testament that there was one disciple who seemed to be closer to the Lord than the others. And it even spurred some jealousy among the disciples. And that was John. And I think probably after, you know, from time to time I thought about that as to what made him or what seemed to set him aside from the other disciples. And it seemed that he had a clearer picture of who Jesus Christ really was. And some of the evidence I'm going to give to you tonight will help you to see that as well. Because you can find it only seemingly in the book of John, where it's more demonstrated in his writings as to who God, who Jesus Christ was, the I am. Let's look at some of those scripture verses that I'm talking about. In the book of John, in the seventh chapter, here we find, I'll bring it down here, the seventh chapter in verses 28 and 29. It says, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Here we find this is Christ is speaking in the temple, the Pharisees, and they were rebuking him, and he made a very profound statement in front of everybody, and it caused a big stir in that temple and those who heard it. In chapter 8 of John, verse 42, it says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. This is some of the foundation, those teachings that Christ had taught, that the disciples heard as he taught and as they walked with him, that John was able to come to some understanding who Jesus Christ truly was. In the eighth chapter, let's drop over to verses 51 through 59. This is where Christ makes a statement to those that were there that he was before Abraham was. Here, verse 51, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep me, my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. A very profound statement there in front of those who he was talking to. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They couldn't understand what he was trying to say. But his disciples there, I believe John was, by the Spirit of God, was taking this all in, that he might come to a better understanding of that, who the I Am is. I have 5 different references in the book of John. And that's the only book that you can find these references, really, where it's very specific in nature. In the 8th chapter and the 24th verse, the title I have, I Am He. Here Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. I am He is that the Greek word there is a being of self-existence. I am He. It is very specific. It's only used in this reference. And you'll find 4 others just like this. I am He. It is different than the I am that you would read, like if somebody's just saying, I am this or I am that. I am He. The words meant something far greater than what we see on the surface. In John in the 13th chapter, the 19th verse, here the Lord is working with his disciples, and after they had washed their feet, and he makes a statement to them. In the 19th verse, he says, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. Speaking of himself. In the 18th chapter, verses 5 through 8, and this is really is something, you know, I've read these verses of Scripture, and I passed over it, and I want you to get it. You may have got it before me, but I want you to get it as well. Here we find this is the betrayal of Christ. There are, you know the scene. They're in the garden. Now Judas and this troop of Roman soldiers are coming to. And the Pharisees are going to come to arrest Jesus Christ. And this is going to give you a good idea of what that word, I am He, and the power behind it, okay? So here you find it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, and into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them. So Jesus didn't even bother to wait for him. He just took and he went, he met him halfway. He saw him come and he went. He says, whom seek you? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am He. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You remember reading that? You remember reading that in there? I didn't. But that's a very significant point. A very significant point. When Jesus Christ said, I am he, the power of that statement caused them to lay prostrate before him. Because it was the Creator. Then asked he them again, whom seek you? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. The power of the word, I am he, meant a lot more than what we see today. In the book of Revelation, the first chapter, as John recorded the words that were given him in the 18th verse, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, verse 23. And this may be a little disturbing, but this is the power of I am he. This is the same power that caused them to fall to the ground. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he, which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. A very powerful statement. So we see in the Old Testament, there was those testimonies that are recorded. And in the New Testament, there are the testimony of John and the disciples. And there's others in there as you look through on that same vein. Now let's see what the Book of Mormon has as a testimony, using those words as well. In third book of Nephi, in the fourth chapter, I mean, this is pretty familiar words to you. This was that voice that they heard after that great destruction. Instead of saying, I am he, here in verse 44 on page 628 of the fourth chapter of third book of Nephi, behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Makes it very plain. And you wonder why? Because they had those scriptures, and they were taught that he who would come by the name of Jesus Christ. And so this voice uses his name, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. If we drop down to verse 48, I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. So it's talking about doing away with the sacrifices. But I am Alpha and Omega, the same testimony that John had made. Let's go to 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter, the 6th verse. You find Jesus had quoted some of those things of Isaiah, not in this particular one, I left those out, but he quotes those where he identifies, I am he. In 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter in the 6th verse, well, the 5th verse, it says, behold, I say unto you that the law is fulfilled that was given unto Moses. Behold, I am he that gave the law, and I am he who covenanted with my people Israel. Therefore, the law in me is fulfilled, for I have come to fulfill the law, therefore it hath an end. To me, it has more meaning where he's identifying who it was that did it, who he's talking to, and how infinite or how complete he made it to them. So they understood that there was no more the law of Moses. It was him that gave him the law, and it was him that was telling them, you no longer follow that law. You have the covenant, which I'm giving you now, which would be the new covenant. And I am he that is giving it. Well, let me see here. In the 9th chapter, the 3rd book of Nephi. Now, this is where some of the different scriptures, the quotes, are being made from other scriptures, but in this particular one, Jesus quotes, and I'm bringing it out because, and you can mark this in your Bibles as well. Here in the 9th chapter, in the 55th verse, what I want you to do is, this particular verse of Scripture, 54 and 55, is a quote from Micah. So if you go to your books, your Bibles, and go to Micah in the 4th chapter of Micah, and verses 12 and 13, that's this quote, but there's something about it in the Book of Mormon that's different than in your Bibles. And so you may want to write this down because it's really important, because it got missed. It got missed in our Bibles. Either somebody left it out or whatever, but the Lord brought it back to identify who it was that was speaking. Here we find in the Book of Mormon, it quotes in 54 and 55, it says, and I will gather my people together as a man gathereth his sheaves into the floor, for I will make my people with whom the Father hath covenanted. Yea, I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. And behold, I am he who doeth it. Now, if you look in your Bible, in that 13th verse of the 4th chapter, it's not in there. What's not in here? Behold, I am he that doeth it. And it's important to understand who it is that was talking. And that, you know, I'm convinced that's why the Lord had that in the Book of Mormon. Because it got left out. He knew it was going to be left out in Micah. That was the one who was talking. I am he. So you can write that in your Bibles as a note. Now, there's another verse of Scripture in the 9th chapter. It's in the 60th verse. And you can find this reference in Deuteronomy by Moses, in the book of John by Philip, and by Peter in the book of Acts. They make this same statement. And that is the 60th verse of this chapter. It says, behold, I am he of whom Moses spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you or your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Making a very plain and direct statement. And what's interesting is you find, obviously, the first time it was quoted that we find in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, And then you find Philip. Let me see, I'm going to go there real quick because the way it's written. In John 1:45, it says, this is when the first disciples, it's an account of the first disciples when Jesus had called them and said, follow me. And then in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Referring to that statement in Deuteronomy. And what's interesting in there, that they use the word Jesus of Nazareth. And I kind of wonder if that was really in the record or not, their record. The way it's written here, it sounds like that name was in there. Did write Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I have a couple more scriptures to close with. This has to do with the testimony of the brother of Jared. We can find that in the book of Ether in the first chapter. That's the one that I read in the 77th verse. But there's also verse 102, that's on page 724. Here we find it's talking to the Gentiles. It says, in that day that they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother of Jared did, that they may become sanctified in me, then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw, even to the unfolding unto them all my revelations, which saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. And he that will contend against the word of the Lord, let him be accursed. And he that shall deny these things, let him be accursed. For unto them will I show no greater things, saith Jesus Christ, for I am he that speaketh. And then the last one is verse 107. It says, I am the same that leadeth men to all good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me that I am. And he that will not believe me will not believe the Father who sent me. I hope that I brought a little light to those words, I am he. That when you read through the scripture and you come across that, you think about some of the things that I brought to your attention tonight, that you can understand that back in those days, those words meant a lot. And I hope and pray that it means a lot to you today. Thank you.